Meow! Welcome to the Cat Tunes Podcast. I'm your host, Catherine Corelli. On this podcast, I'm going to talk about the stories behind my songs, the production tools that I've used, the production methods that I've employed, the instruments that I've played, the instruments that I've discovered, the arrangement methods that I've used, the real-life stories which precipitated the creation of my entire albums or of my separate tracks. So let's jump right into it, shall we? And welcome you listening to the Cat Tunes Podcast. This is episode 84, and today we're going to be talking about a song called Bitch. I will have to mark this episode as explicit, I guess, even because of the title. I can't help it. I mean, that's in the lyrics of the song, and the song itself is very explicit. I will tell you that. And it's quite an angry song, you know, it is an angry song and it is a sad song. Looking back at the times when it was written, and that was back in 2008, I believe, in 2008, the original song was written. I was in the very midst of my first relationship with, my first long-term relationship with my then boyfriend. And it wasn't an easy one. I was jealous, I was angry when I wrote this song. I guess just that's what it is. Those are the emotions that this song was born out of. And I felt saddened. I was kind of losing faith in men. Let's put it this way. And there was a lot of things that were piled up. If you actually go and read the lyrics, I don't think that I'm going to read the lyrics. You know, I don't think it's necessary. And I won't go much further into the subject matter of the song. There is really nothing outstanding about the themes of this song. It's just an angry song of a girl who was hurt, who was sulking, who was angry, who was jealous, insecure, and all of those beautiful things, and depressed, to top it off, and depressed. So, if you want to go and read the lyrics, go to genius.com, /Catherine-Corelli-bitch-lyrics, and read the lyrics for yourself, or just look up the song Catherine Corelli, Bitch, lyrics, look it up online, and you'll find the lyrics. So, musically, again, as I just said, this song was born out of depression. Depression, sulking, insecurities, anger, jealousy, accompanied by a heavy depression. At the time, I was experiencing a lot of very conflicting emotions. I gotta tell you, depression can be really bad. And a lot of my music, somehow, you know, is born out of depression, out of sadness. It's just how it is. So, it was a melody, an original melody, or a riff, or kind of a beat, or all together, everything at once, that came to me one day, and somehow I just wanted all of that in C sharp minor. So the song is in C sharp minor, and it has kind of a medium beat. Medium BPM, 93, and it is a relatively straightforward, simple song. It has a few twists. Of course, I had to throw in my signature low fourth to spice it up, because I love it when the distance between the chords is a minor third, and I like it in a very or a major third when we're moving down and a minor third when we're moving up. I love this formula, let's put it this way. And because of that, I've discovered at some point the flat fourth for myself, and I started building chords on that flat fourth and capitalizing on that, and then putting that in conjunction with the dominant fifth and seeing what happens. So it's an interesting thing, and you will hear it in this song. There is a chord progression in the medium, in the middle section where it surfaces. All in all, this song didn't really take a lot of time to write. I can't remember anything super original or outstanding about this song other than that I was really, really depressed, you know, and I don't want to dwell on that. But production-wise, it was recorded at the time back in 2008, the first demo kind of version was recorded into a cheap, crappy, beaten-up karaoke mic. Through a built-in sound card, so the quality of that recording was pretty questionable, to put it lightly. I wanted to, you know, rap something. I wanted to do like a crossover between, you know, hip-hop and dark wave or chill wave or breakbeat or drum and bass and something like that. I wanted to mix up a lot of things. And I didn't exactly know, you know, what genre, I still don't know what genre of music, what subgenre does this song fit, and quite frankly, I don't even care. You know, I'm just making music, and I have a vision that I want it to be like that, somewhere there, you know, in the ballpark of that, and then I just go ahead and do it. And then it turns out to be either great or kind of, maybe not so great. Kind of depends, you know. But I don't pursue the goal of trying to fit in necessarily into a specific genre. So whatever it is, you know, whatever you can find nowadays on all mainstream media, on all big streaming platforms like Spotify, iTunes, etc., this version of the song from the current version of the album, that's just, you know, what it is. Some of these songs are kind of hip-hop-ish. Some of these songs are not exactly. They're rather like alt-pop or art-pop or chill-wave or synth-pop or synth-wave. Chill, maybe, occasionally, or with elements of drum and bass. It's just what they are. The entire song was programmed. The quote-unquote guitars, because there are some heavily affected guitars on this song, on the original, are synthesizers and factors, a combination of a sampled guitar with a synthesizer with some sort of pad or effect or whatever. None of that was played live, it all was programmed, quite unfortunately. And just like with every other song from this original album, all of these songs are gonna get reworked and are gonna become kind of like alternative rock something. They're gonna become kind of heavier, kind of punchier, and they're gonna be presented once again on a new version of this album, which is gonna be called Into Gehenna. And that is gonna be the next album that I'm going to be working on after I'm done with Take the Jive Reforged. So that's basically what I want to say about this song, you know. And with that being said, let's move on to the music analysis, shall we? So, first and foremost, the song is in C-sharp minor, as I said before, and the BPM is 93, so it is a moderate song. It's not too slow, and it's not really too fast, and it's kind of a, well, it's a very depressed song. It's depressing, and it was written out of depression, so of course it's not a happy tune. It opens up with a synth that plays a melody that kind of sounds almost like a classical melody. Um, But before we go into that, let's listen first to the intro. Then I'll pause after that, comment on the intro, and then we'll continue listening and I'll comment, all right? Okay, so here's what's going on in the intro. Screwed up a note, but you get it. And then later, this same synth riff is gonna be supported by a bass line. That going on. So for now, this melody appears in the intro and it kind of sounds very lonely because it's just a melody and doesn't have the support of anything. Some drums kick in, and then after that we're going into the first verse. So let's listen to the first verse, bridge, first hook, and even the second verse, bridge and hook, because they all repeat themselves. Let's listen all the way till the middle.
Take
Okay, so what's going on here? That's approximately what's going on in the first part of the verse. It's a C-sharp, basically. This is just a bass line. It's kind of a C-sharp minor chord that's extended across six bars. With this kind of motion. And this motion, too. For the most part, six bars of C sharp minor with just some reef-like structure in the bass. Then there is an F sharp minor in the end. I'm convinced that probably there is sometimes there is an E major plus five with an augmented fifth. Or I would rather like to see it as an inversion of C-sharp minor, with, C-sharp minor plus 7. An inversion on the base of E. That's how I would see it. Then we're going to the second part of the verse, and this is where, we're going into that chord progression which later will be used in the hook. So, this is again where the melody from the intro appears. Only with a one little correction. I was a little slightly wrong. Now, the chord progression has a variation here. And then it goes into goes into an A minor very briefly for just half a measure, even less, as a transitional point into the bridge, and then I don't believe that So then there is the bridge section. But then there is a bridge section. The bridge section contains basically just four chords, and they just repeat twice. So there's an F sharp minor, minus 7, an A major plus 7, Now this is a little bit of Slipknot influence. See, one of my favorite songs by Slipknot is Prelude 3.0, which opens the Volume 3 Subliminal Verses album. And one of the things that I loved about this song is this juxtaposition of a diminished triad against a bass that is incongruent with it. Just like here, and I'm using kind of the same structure here. So, go. Yeah, so it makes the F sharp an F sharp minor minus 7-9, because in fact this is an E, C sharp, G sharp with a downward motion. Next chord becomes a plus 7, of course, the A major plus 7. And then we're going into a diminished triad. It's an F sharp. In the bass we have a C sharp, and on top here we have an F sharp, B sharp, A. You see what it creates? It's very tense. And then after that, we're going into the hook, and it repeats a section which I've already played. And again, it repeats the same melody from the intro. Going to get into the verse. So then there's a second verse, which basically plays, it's exactly the same structure as the first one. Same exact bridge, same exact hook, again repeats itself. Same So that repeats over and over and over again. And then we're going into the middle section. That's when it gets a little interesting. This is in the instrumentation, these rising, kind of like questions, you know, that's the purpose of it. Now, the chord chain, what's going on here? C sharp minor, E major plus 7, D major plus 7, then there is an F major plus 7, which changes to a minus 7 because of the melody. Back to C sharp minor. A major plus 7. This time just an F major plus 7. Then G sharp major minus 7, but also with a minus 9. That allows for this melodic line to do an A in dissonance to the G sharp. So, this section, the middle section, repeats itself four times, and over the course of four times, there's a build-up in the vocals, etc., etc., in the percussion, etc., 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 and we're leading up to a double hook, which is, again, a repetition, just a more agitated, a more energetic reiteration of what we've already heard in the previous hooks. There is nothing new, completely. And then there is the outro, which... the difference between the outro the body of any intro part of the verses presented here, because the verses, as far as you remember, they were going the same way. It was the same kind of riff. In the verses, there was just this riff-like structure in the bass line, while there were like six measures of C sharp minor and nothing else. It didn't change the bass line did not imply a change in the chord progression. However, here it's slightly modified, and that's why I've sneaked in an A minor somewhere amidst all this, so I combined the two ideas. Bum, ba, 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 bum. All of a sudden an A minor on the last beat, on the last half of every next measure. Again, back to C sharp minor. That's basically the music analysis of this song, and with that being said, let's move on to the next section, shall we? As you can hear, this song is rather written structurally. It is very simple. it's almost a classical song structure. There is a short intro, there is a verse, there are constant innuendos, constant references and foreshadowing of the coming hook, and it's throughout the song the same repetitive kind of motif goes throughout the entire song in various shapes and forms. Sometimes it's like this melodic lines, like chameleons, they sort of adjust to the new chord progression and kind of blend in there, but the motion of those melodic lines kind of generally stays the same. So it's kind of almost there, and it's kind of always there. It doesn't completely go away. I mean, the reference to the hook and the motif that is used in the hook. The verses are simple. Yes, there is a bridge. Well, okay. And then there is a hook, a very simple hook, which is basically already introduced in the intro. There is nothing new. Well, then the middle section introduces something different, but, you know, if you're listening to my music, you would know that in my world, using a chord progression like this, like the one in the middle section here, with a C sharp minor, E major, D major plus 7, and then going into an F major plus 7, and then a minus 7, that's really not a big deal. It's not like it's something completely, you know, completely insane. No, it's pretty much in the vein. And it's not even original, you know, compared to many of my other songs, which are a lot more complex and sometimes unnecessarily complex. So this is, like, I consider this song to be a pretty simple one, and I can't wait to get to it. And on the Into Gehenna version of the album, when I will be reworking this old album, I can't wait to get there and see what happens, you know, what kind of magic will happen. I have a few ideas, and I kind of have the generic understanding of where is that going to go. I will probably try not to make it too heavy, you know, but it's going to be an interesting project, and I'm totally looking forward to that. I think this is where I'm going to be wrapping up this episode. If you haven't heard any of my music yet, and if you've never heard this song and this album, you know, especially, of course, I want to invite you to check out my music on any major streaming platform. You can find it everywhere. You can find it on Spotify, on Apple Music, on iTunes, on Amazon, on Deezer, wherever you consume music, you can find it over there. You can even find it on YouTube. You know, there's YouTube Music, as far as I remember, then there was just, generally speaking, YouTube, and you can find my channel there, my official artist channel. I have a couple of playlists. One of them is Cat Talk, where I'm talking about non-musical stuff for the most part, and if you don't want to go there, don't go there. But there's also a Cat Vibes playlist, where I'm usually uploading kind of a vlog, kind of serious. I'm posting more casual footage, and I'm giving updates on where am I with my music production, and giving some, you know, current updates, and also showing my process, you know, recording guitars, other instruments, drums occasionally, and vocals, you know, and whatnot. So if you want to check me out, you can find me on YouTube, and I would appreciate it if you go there and subscribe to my channel and support me. And if you like what I'm doing, support me and share it. Share my videos with your friends or whoever you believe needs to hear it. Also, I want to invite you to check out my other business, which has to do with skin health and aromatherapy. It's called Southern Caracol. The website is Southern, from the word South, Southern Caracol, C-A-R-A-C-A-L, Southern Caracol.com. Check out our line of products. We got oatmeal honey soaps, we got CBD soaps, we got lotions, we got aromatherapy soaps, by the way. And currently, until September 5th, we're going to have a major 20% discount on all aromatherapy soaps. If you want to stock up on very nice soap, which can improve your mood and is a very healthy alternative to the big box store products, check out our website, southerncaracol.com. Pick something for yourself, for your friends and family, and your skin, and the skin of your friends and family will thank you later. So with that being said, thank you very much for being with me, for spending your time with me. I wish you a wonderful weekend, and you will hear me on the next episode.